All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 91. I'm Combo Breaker 99. Welcome back, everybody. Back with another episode. Got a few things to talk about, a few things to discuss. You know, some good news. Good news for the UFC. You know, some upcoming fights we got coming up, new signees. So we got to talk about a few different things in this episode. But yeah, man, we had a good weekend this past weekend, you know. It definitely was much needed for WMMA, I'm not going to lie, because, you know, WMMA has been treading on thin ice, you know, with the past few performances. But I feel like, you know, these last three definitely helped their rebound. I mean, we had only three WMMA fights on this Volkov-Rosenstroik card, but we had three finishes. And they were good, you know what I mean? They weren't really like the highest caliber of fights, but, you know, there were some good up-and-comers. And we had some veterans in there, you know, so, I mean, that's always good to, you know, kind of see these fighters perform to that level and get these type of finishes. So, you know, I enjoyed that. So let's run through that a little bit, you know, this past weekend. And like I said, this episode here, we just kind of focusing on laying out the welcoming mat for some new fighters that's been signed, because it looks like they're really trying to build this 135 division up. I don't know what's going on with this featherweight thing. Wait a minute, what is featherweight? I don't even know anymore. We ain't even talking about that. We ain't even going to talk about that. But right now, they're laying out the welcoming mat for 135, it seems. We got a few different signees, and, you know, as well as strawweight. So, you know, I just kind of want to run through the list that we have and kind of give you my thoughts on who they're signing. And then just give you a little preview for this weekend coming up, UFC 275. You know, we got some good fights on there. I'm not going to go too in-depth with, you know, the upcoming fights this weekend. I'm going to probably just go ahead and do a special episode for that one because, you know, these are two major fights that everybody's looking forward to, right? So I'm going to try to get that one out ASAP. I am. Believe me, I will. I've been busy, man, but look, I'm going to try to get it out there, man. But, yeah, this past weekend, yeah, I enjoyed it, you know. I mean, I went 3-0 as far as my picks, you know, so that always makes it better. But we had three good fights. Like I said, we had some newcomers in the flyweight division make their statements. And, you know, we had a couple of veterans. You know, we had a couple of veterans that wanted to try to regain that glory, right? So let's start with the first fight on the card, Erin Blanchfield. You know, let's just give her props. You know, Erin Blanchfield, she went in there and did what I expected for her to do. You know, always show the dog. I didn't think she would go in there and finish J.J. Aldridge in that fashion, but it was wide open. If anybody was going to get submitted, it was going to be J.J. Aldridge, because to me, that's how good Erin Blanchfield is at finding these openings. You know what I mean? Like, she can be behind. We can talk about her getting hit all day, but she's always there and she's always ready. You know, so Erin Blanchfield this past weekend got the second round submission via guillotine. Got a second round guillotine over J.J. Aldridge. In a fight that was turning out to be competitive. You know, J.J. Aldridge, to me, was doing very well on the feet. You know, doing very well with her angles, lateral movement. You know, beautiful one-twos, beautiful right hook in the southpaw stance. That was, I won't say it was frustrating Erin Blanchfield, but she was definitely scoring on Erin Blanchfield. She was definitely winning a round, and she was definitely piling up points, which, like I said, can be dangerous for Erin in the future when she's dealing with harder hitters, right? But Erin, you know, she's always sticking to a game plan, and that's to, you know, impose her will on you. And I think that's why she's such a threat to me, because she's got a high IQ. And yeah, she has a little bit of recklessness about her, but that's what's going to get her victories. But I think moving forward in the future, you know, after this fight, she's going to watch the tape and she's going to go back and say, OK, we do need to work on that 1D I'm always talking about, defense, you know. So if she wants to get to the top, I think she can get to the top 10 right now. I think she can get to the top 15 again, but I think she can definitely break into the top 10 with her style. But to break into the top 5 and top 3 and so on, defense is a big factor for Erin Blanchfield. You know, Erin's definitely going to have to work on, you know, not just going in there and imposing your will and being dominant, but as the strikers get tougher and more powerful, you've got to start slipping your head and being slicker in there, you know. As for J.J. Aldridge, you know, she can't be mad at her performance. I mean, it was just one of those things. She was trying to scramble after getting knocked off balance. Erin Blanchfield was just right there to grab the neck. You know, she just went for it, and she just got it, you know? So there's really nothing she could be mad at. I mean, she showed a lot of good improvements, like her strength, you know, her wrestling. You know, she was able to take Erin Blanchfield down 2 times. Not much came of it, but she took her down, and she was winning the stand-up battle. So if she goes back and looks at what she's doing, it's the one thing that I said she really needs to do moving forward is to be a little bit more aggressive and impose her will on fighters now, because she's really good at controlling distance. You know, her stand-up is very technical, but I think when she starts to sit down on her punches and she imposes her will, fighters will show her more respect. Like, I think if she would have started really snapping the head back of Erin Blanchfield, she probably would have got the respect, you know what I mean? So I think that's what she really needs to work on, is adding that dog element. And, you know, dog is, it's kind of a natural thing, so I don't know how much more she can add to her game. But, you know, I like the attempt from JJ Aldridge. You know, I do like her as a fighter, like I said, but I had to roll with Erin in this one because she keeps on coming on this level. But like I said, she gets higher, the fights are going to have to be more paced out, where she just can't run in head first, especially if she called out Macy Barber. If Macy Barber beats Jessica Eye, you can't fight her the same way that she fought this fight, you know what I mean? Because Macy Barber has the equalizer, let's be real, right? All right, so yeah, that was a good finish. Okay, so far we had a guillotine. Next up, we had Karolina Kowalkiewicz versus Felice Herrig. Shout out to Karolina, man. Like I said, you know, we're not overhyping over here. You know, Karolina Kowalkiewicz, she did a good job, you know, going back in there, making some nice improvements on this level. And to go in there and secure a victory, you know, she wanted to break that 5-fight losing streak. You know, that's a fighter's code. You know, if a fighter wants to go in there and redeem themselves, they should be given that. You know what I mean? Like, even with the certain conditions that she's been in, like I said, but if she wants to fight it and say, you know, I can do this, as long as the right improvements are made, I'm fine with it. You know, she said, hey, I left the family behind, I left the dog behind, all of that, you know, to focus on this camp at ATT, you know, crediting her trainers, Ioana, and so on. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. So if she's going to stick to that, then I mean, hey, she can keep fighting her contract out. But Saturday night, she went in there, got a much more convincing victory over Felice Herrig than the first time around. Got Felice Herrig out of there. Felice Herrig was game, you know, but you definitely saw the level of grappling here with Karolina, you know, not taking as many chances as far as brawling. She got hit a few times in there, of course, but when she started sticking that jab out and when she got taken down, she was able to take full control and submit Felice Herrig via rear naked choke. All right. So, yeah, now we got a guillotine. Now we got the rear naked choke on here. So, yeah, that's why I had to roll with Karolina in this fight, because I said, you know what, Karolina, she's probably going to be dangerous. I know she's been in some rough moments, you know, in her last 5 fights. But Felice Herrig, I don't think she's really been active enough, you know, with those bad botched, you know, the botched knee surgeries and so on. You know, she's been dealing with a lot with that. Karolina was just out for blood this time. You know, she wanted to correct everything. So, you know, I had to roll with her in this one. As for Karolina moving on from here, I said anybody like Brianna Van Buren, Sam Hughes, Loma Labutni, those names like that on the lower level would be good fights for her at this moment. Felice Herrig, you know, shout out to Felice Herrig. Farewell, Felice. You know, she's done. She said she's calling it quits because she's just not in it like she used to be. Her mind's on other places. You know, I think she draws too. You know, she's an artist. She does books. She does OnlyFans, right? So I'm sure that's where a lot of her money is coming from now. So why not just go ahead and focus on that if that's where your mind is, right? So, yeah, shout out to the veteran, Karolina. I think it's just got to be a step-by-step process from here. And last but not least, Karine Silva. Karine Silva, she said, I'm going to up the ante. I'm going to get my first-round finish over Poliana Bateo. Now, I know some of y'all picked Poliana out there. Y'all had good reason to pick Poliana because she is a very tough fighter on the feet, and I knew this fight was going to be tough on the feet. But like I said, if Karine Silva gets this thing to the ground, I'm going to have to go with her, right? But it was how she got it to the ground, you know? Like two keys in this fight now. That's why I had to pick her in this. I said she got a laser-sharp right hand, which is what got her the knockdown slash takedown. And if she gets it to the ground, she's got much better jujitsu than Poliana Bateo, and that's what happened. Now, Poliana did start off strong. You know, she was controlling the pace, but like I said, Karine Silva was just slowly figuring her opponent out, you know, sticking the jab out, finding the range, and boom, she gets it down. Boom, she's on her. Boom, she gets a darts choke. Wow. So first we had a guillotine, and then we had a rear naked choke. Then we got a Dars. I was like, man, like these ladies ain't playing tonight. You know, they trying to get their victory. They trying to get this finishing bonus. So I think all three of these ladies deserve finishing bonus because their fights turned out to be better than most of the men on this card, right? So way to bounce back. Way to bounce back. Kareem Silva from here. Ariane Lipsky. Jillian Robertson. Who else? There was another name that I thought of. One of y'all mentioned too as well in the chat. Jillian Robertson. Ariane Lipsky. I'll think on that. But Paulina Mateo, Montana De La Rosa, somebody like that would be good for her. Courtney Casey. If Courtney Casey's still fighting Antonina, I don't know then. But Paulina's got a lot of stuff to work on, though. You know, she got to work on that that ground game. You know, when she hits the ground sometimes, she's like a fish out of water. You know, somebody told me she had a black belt in BJJ. I'm not sure about that. But, you know, let me know if you really know for sure. But, yeah, 3-0. Three finishes this past weekend. I enjoyed it. You know, let me know what y'all thought, guys. Hopefully we got more weekends like this to come. But let's move on. So, real quick, I just want to run through this with y'all real quick. More upcoming fights for y'all that want me to speak on PFL more. Let's see, PFL. So the next card for PFL, y'all, let me go ahead and fill y'all in. We got the next card is on Friday, July 1st. And that is PFL, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. 5 p.m. Eastern Time is the prelims. So let me go ahead and run through the fights there for y'all that asked me about it. So first off, we got Kolesnik versus Vanessa Mello. So you know how they do over there at PFL. They always match up the winner with the loser from the past fight. You know, they just don't do winner versus winner over here. That's weird. I mean, let me know if y'all know why they do that. So Kolesnik versus Mello. And then we have Jindrova versus, oh man, Faye. Well, y'all see her name there. I can't pronounce that name, man. Faye Zalanova. All right. Jindrova, she got her first victory over, I want to say, Vanessa Mello, right? Yeah, it was Vanessa Mello. And Faye Zalanova got knocked out in the first round by Larissa Pacheco. All right. So also we have Marina Matkina versus Abigail Montez. All right. Abigail Montez lost to Kolesnik. And Marina had lost to Kayla Harris. All right. So you got loser versus loser in this one. So and that's because Jenna Fabian is fighting Larissa Pacheco. All right. Because originally Fabian, since she missed weight, she should have been moved down and she should have been fighting the loser. She should have been fighting the winner of one of the other fights, right? Because they said they were going to do that because she was minus one and she had missed weight, right? Yeah, that was the deal with her. But they got it matched up here with Pacheco. This might be good, man. This is going to be explosive. You know, this is what I want to see, two stand-up fighters here. You know, Pacheco got power in both hands, but she got the ground game. Fabian, you know, she's a big, strong stand-up fighter. Yeah, she needs a good win over Pacheco to bounce back into this thing. And Pacheco needs to make a statement to get that Kayla Harrison fight, right? All right, so those are the women's fights. And then, of course, the main event, Kayla Harrison versus Julia Budd. Whew, I don't know, man. You know, Julia Budd didn't look good in her last outing. She had one good round against Jenna Fabian. But Jenna Fabian took over, so this one here, I kind of got to roll with Kayla Harrison just as an early look. You know, I think her physical, you know, that physical style of hers and her strength is really going to be keys to really wearing a fighter down like Julia Budd. Because I don't think Julia Budd's stand-up is good enough to get the respect of Kayla Harrison. I'm just saying early on now. Now, if she packed some real power in them hands like Pacheco and had really great takedown defense and she could really handle this weight well, I would be thinking differently. But I don't know, y'all. Y'all let me know. I'm kind of leaning towards Kayla Harrison in this one. So, yeah, that's the PFL card. You know, I'll probably call that card July 1st with y'all, you know, run through it since we have so many WMMA fights on there. And some of y'all asked me about it. Some of y'all think I don't like Kayla Harrison. But it's not that. It's not that I don't like Kayla Harrison. I just think that she doesn't really have, like, good competition. And I want to see her step it up. That's what it is. But, yeah, I'll call the card if y'all want me to. But big news. Also big news. Invicta FC 48 July 20th, we got the bantamweight champion, Tanisha Tennant, taking on Olga Rubin. I like that. Tanisha Tennant versus Olga Rubin. So Tanisha Tennant is making her return to defend her belt against former featherweight contender, Bellator featherweight contender, Olga Rubin. Now, I haven't seen any more of the card. This is the only fight that's been announced. Let's double check here while we're taking a look. As y'all know, a while back I had announced that Olga Rubin had been cut from Bellator because they've been getting rid of a lot of the fighters from Europe because of the situation going on with the pandemic at the time. So she's been out for a minute, right? But Tanisha Tennant, this is her first fight back since Lisa Frazoza, and that was back in August. You know, Lisa Frazoza is the fight where she won the belt, so this is her first title defense. And they actually don't even have it listed on Tapology yet here, so it'll be good to see Tanisha Tennant in this type of fight, you know, defending her belt, because she's really having to go that extra mile to convince the UFC that, hey, she's ready. You know, that she's ready. I know some people say, oh, she needs to stop more people, she needs more finishes, but I think she brings a very educated style, and I think she just brings, you know, something that the division needs, something more than just knockouts, right? Because every time people complain and say, oh, they want knockouts or finishes, then when that person steps their game up to somebody with more of a technical style, they say, oh, they're no good, they're one-dimensional, right? So you can't have it both ways. It's like, come on, you got to have this type of style in there, somebody that's methodical and technical, even like Valentina. Like, Valentina gets finishes, of course, but give a fighter like Tanisha Tennant a chance to build in the division and, you know, get some names on her resume too. And I mean, hey, you might enjoy her style, you know what I mean? I mean, look at Olga Rubin. She's Olga Rubin's been out since November 2021. Okay, yeah, she's bounced back since then. You know, she's fought for Octagon, so she hasn't been out a full year since then. So, okay. She was on back-to-back losing streak back in Bellator in featherweight division. Yeah, then she bounced back at Octagon. So now she's signing over to fight Tanisha Tennant in 135. So, yeah, I think this is a good fight for Tanisha Tennant. She gets to fight somebody with a little bit of experience, you know, 7-2. And I think, you know, Tanisha Tennant, you know, she needs to go in here and look her best. You know, she's really got to look technical, but at the same time, she's got to go in there and try to get a finish. You know, if somebody like Julia Budd goes in there and stops her with a body shot in the first round, she's going to have to step her game up and do something similar. You know, maybe get like a five-round, you know, something like, you know, five-round TKO or fourth-round TKO, you know, just methodically breaking her down, you know, because right now the UFC, they're facing, you know, they're adding a lot of different faces to bantamweight right now. And, you know, some of these fighters, I haven't even, like, thought they were on the radar, you know what I mean? But someone like Tanisha that has the resume, you know, she's the winner of the bantamweight tournament. She's the winner of the she's the winner of the bantamweight tournament. She's a bantamweight champion, right? She has all of this stuff going for her right now. You know, she's beat all these different fighters, but they still can't sign her. You gotta wonder why, right? So this is that time where I think she has to go in here, bag this win and look dominant, get a finish. And then they'll probably look to sign her next, because right now it's kind of open season. They're signing a lot of new bantamweights, which brings me to my next topic, man, the new bantamweights. We got to roll out the welcoming mat for these other ladies, you know, even though Tanisha's not one of them, right? I mean, let's go ahead and pull up these names here. First up, let's see, we got Fiona Perez. She's a new signee. She's just been signed. She's already has a fight lined up. Alan Perez, she's 7-1. And what's crazy is I had just got done watching a couple of her fights. She fights for Samurai Fight House. I was just watching her fight, I think it was maybe like 2 weeks ago. And then somebody had told me, oh, you know, Alan Perez has been signed. And I looked, I said, oh, yeah, okay. I said, wait a minute, who is that, right? So then I go back and pull up the fight. Then I catch her twerking at the end of the fight. Then I'm like, oh, that's who Alan Perez is. You know, I was like, okay, that's who Alan Perez is. All right, so Alan Perez, yeah, Samurai Fight House fighter. She's currently 7-1, and she signed on to fight Zara Ferran Santos in September at 135. So Zara Ferran de Santos is moving down to 135 too, so I think we can start edging out that let's start etching out that tombstone for the featherweight division, y'all. I think it's time now, because they got her moving down to 135 too. But we got somebody else I'm going to talk about too that's moving down, that's going to really help solidify putting that tombstone on the featherweight division. So we'll see. But yeah, we got Alyn Perez. You know, she's a bit of a scrappy fighter. It's still hard to tell where she'll fall in. You know, she's good stand-up game, pretty good on the ground. You know, I think she has that face that they're looking for. You know, she's fighting out of Argentina. Yeah, she's been a career fighter with them. You know, she's fought like four or five fights with Samurai, and they're looking for somebody with finishes. You know, she has quite a few finishes on her resume, right? So we got Alyn Perez. And also, welcome to the UFC bantamweight division. We have a two-time Muay Thai world title champion, Muay Thai world champion, in Tainara Lisboza. All right, so let's go ahead and pull up her background here a little bit. So, Brazilian Muay Thai specialist, Lisboa is the latest addition to the UFC bantamweight division. She became a two-time Muay Thai world champion before making her transition to MMA in 2016. She lost her debut to future UFC fighter Norma Dumont, went on to win five of her next six bouts. At this moment, she doesn't have a fight lined up, but let's see, they're currently trying to get somebody lined up for her in the coming weeks, they said. So yeah, man, okay, so we got these two fighters lined up for the bantamweight division. Let's see, it asked if there's a fighter in the UFC bantamweight division with a strike with striking that compares to hers. Lisboa praised Jermaine Duraname. She said Jermaine Duraname is an excellent Muay Thai fighter. We're from the same era Muay Thai. She was already a star in Muay Thai when I was in Thailand, but we never got the fight. But I've always followed her career and admired her before she joined the UFC. It showed that Muay Thai hurts bad and is really beautiful. Okay, so with that, you know, they're bringing her up. You think they might try to make Lisboa versus Duraname? Since Duraname, you know, has been out, she's inactive, she's out of the rank, and they might try to make that fight. Or maybe not. That might be too much experience for Lisboa on a first fight, right? So, yeah, they might not do that. They might not do that, but we'll see. We'll see what they do. All right, so those are two bantamweights we got lined up. All right, the next two. October 1st. You notice my girl here just got signed. October 1st, we got, first up, got Leah Letson. Y'all know who Leah Letson is, right? Former featherweight contender. Leah Letson is taking on newly signed Chelsea Chandler, right? Welcome, Chelsea Chandler. Y'all know she's an Invicta FC fighter. She's fought at 135 before. She's been fighting at featherweight the majority of her time at Invicta FC. And I thought that was the weight they were going to keep her at. That was where her last fight was just about a month ago, right? She took on Courtney King, just won a unanimous decision over Courtney King. And before that, you know, she was inactive for almost 2 years, you know, because they were having trouble finding her a fight. So finally, UFC signed her over because she spoke out. She put a voice out there and said, hey, you know, UFC needs to sign me because all they have right now for the featherweight division is Macy Chason and Norma Dumont, right? So she was like, sign me. So it was like they answered her call. They signed her. But what did they do? They lined her up against Leah Letson. About to get excited, right? Thinking, okay, they lined these two up to fight a featherweight fight. Nope. Got to move them down to 135. Leah Letson versus Chelsea Chandler is at 135. That's right. So let's go ahead and finish. Let's go ahead and finish edging out that tombstone. 135 is gone now. Let's go ahead and put that on the grave now. Once Amanda Nunes retires, I think we pretty much say we're going to retire that belt with her, right? Damn. So Leah Letson versus Chelsea Chandler is at 135. So I think this is a good matchup. It's a good fight. Leah Letson, you know, she didn't look too good in her last fight. You know, she's been looking good physically. Like, she's really been cutting down on the weight. And, you know, she's started to really look strong. You know, she's really been working on her technique and everything. But Felicia Spencer, who was her last opponent, who stopped her, you know, is a dog in there. You know, that was a rough fight for her to come back, you know, against. You know, very rough first fight to come back against. So I really won't count her out for that. But I think this is a better matchup for her. You know, Chelsea Chandler, you know, they both, to me, are going to be testing themselves at this weight at 135, right? So I think this will kind of balance things out here. You know, Chelsea's really good on the ground. Her boxing's getting sharper. She's got power in that left hand from the southpaw stance. You know, I think she's very active throughout rounds. You know, she's always working, whether it's on the feet or on the ground. So I think the only question is, like, can they both handle this weight cut? You know, that's what I'm really worried about for these fighters, because, you know, they really want to be 145, but here they go squeezing down to 135, right? So new bantamweights you got right there, right? You got Lisboa, Tanera Lisboa, Alan Fiona Perez, and Chelsea Chandler. So that's your new, looks like they're trying to set up their new roster right there, right? Let's see. We also got some new signers, like I said, at strawweight. Got some new strawweight signed on. So let's go ahead and welcome former Invicta FC strawweight champion, Emily Ducote. Why are they signing her? Well, Brianna Van Buren, a.k.a. Brianna Fortino, once again had to pull out of her fight with Jessica Penney, right? Had to pull out of her fight with Jessica Penney. Needed to sign somebody on to take on Jessica Penney. So, hey, they grabbed the strawweight champion from Invicta, Emily Ducote. Shout out to Emily Ducote, though, man. You know, she's really been working hard. Like I said, some people question about how far she'll go. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, people can always say, well, how far do you think she'll go? I can't answer that. I mean, the girl's been working, so you can't make it sound like she's not going to go far. You know, Emily Ducote, you know, I can say she's one of the hardest working fighters that's coming out of Invicta, because, you know, she's been around. You know, she's been around. She's been fighting for Invicta. She's been fighting for Bellator. She's fought at 125. She's fought at 115. You know, she's taken L's. She's taken W's. You know what I mean? She's faced different type of styles throughout her career. So with somebody like her, you know, she's kind of built this resume. You know, she's built this resume, and she kind of knows what to do and what not to do. And I think that's the type of experience that you need coming into the UFC. You know what I mean? Like, there's several types of levels. Like, you know, there's the undefeated type of fighter that understands what type of game you need. Like these fighters like Manon that come in, you know, maybe have one loss, but they have something about them. They have that it factor. But then there's these fighters like Emily Ducote that come in that really had to work hard for it. You know what I mean? Because they started early and, you know, they started taking L's early, but then they really started working on the job and they got better as a fighter, right? So Emily Ducote, I think with her type of experience, you know, she's going to see some different looks and some new looks because this is the UFC. But I think that some of the things that she's going to see early on, it's not really going to frustrate her. Like Jessica Penney, I don't think that's the type of fighter that's really going to frustrate her coming in against, right? And let's say she fights somebody like her, Bellissimus in the future, Montserrat Ruiz, these different looks like that. If she can rack up a nice 3-4 fight win streak with these type of fighters, she can break into, you know, the top 10 and fight a Lemos and feel a little bit more comfortable. You know what I mean? So Emily Ducote, she's bringing a lot to the table here. You know, I think she's bringing a lot because I've been waiting for them to go ahead and say, let's sign Emily Ducote, because, you know, she's bringing a level of experience, quite the resume. You know, she's a champion. She's 28 years old. So, hey, she's hitting that prime. Let's take a look at the resume. So last fight, she stopped Elisa Zapatella, you know, with her striking, you know, good accuracy, timing. Before that, she scored a highlight reel knockout over a UFC veteran in Danielle Taylor. Before that, she beat another UFC veteran in Juliana Lima. Lost very close fight to a UFC fighter now, Kanako Murata, which some people argue she won. She stopped Janissa Morandon. She stopped Catherine Pepraki. As y'all know, she's in the flyweight tough house right now, right? So Vito Arteaga, she lost to Christina Williams, Alima Leigh McFarlane, she lost to two times, but she's beat a lot of veterans from the UFC. You know what I mean? She's beat a lot of people that the UFC are focused on right now. So that's telling you right now that the level she's on, she's learned from those fights, and she's on their level. She really is, you know, because she got the belt. You know, she got the belt at Invicta FC. So what can I say? I think that Emily Ducote is definitely offering something right now, you know. Another strawweight they signed. Let's go ahead and pull her up. Shout out to Stray. He's been asking me about this young fighter that's been signed. But let me pull it up first because I want to make sure this is going to be at 115, because the person she's fighting has been fighting at 125 more so, right? Let's go ahead and pull this up here. All right, so let's welcome Melissa Martinez. Melissa Martinez, who's 7-0, is going to be taking on Hannah Cypress. And let me make sure we got the weight right now. It's going to be at 115. Okay, so newly signed, undefeated strawweight Melissa Martinez is going to be taking on Hannah Cypress. And let me see what card this is going to be on. In September, on September 10th for UFC Fight Night. Let's see. At the Apex. Okay. All right. So that's a good signing. That's a good signing right there. You know, they got this undefeated strawweight. I've seen a couple of her fights. You know, I got to kind of go back and just kind of study a little bit. But, you know, from what I've seen from some of her performances, you know, I think that, you know, she's definitely a growing fighter. I seen her fight at Combate a few times. Who she fight? Desiree Yanez. It was a close fought battle. Caroline Gallardo. Yeah, I seen that fight, Carolina Gallardo. Because a couple of these, I think I did some post fights on. So, yeah, this young lady coming out of Combate, much like Yasmin Harige, which I'll talk about here in a minute. You know, I think she's going to be bringing something to the UFC. You know, very tough, very aggressive. You know, I think she's very strong physically, you know, has some pretty decent striking. So when she comes in here, you know, she's going to be facing some of these LFA and Invictus FC veterans. You know, that's going to help build her up for the next level, right? So I think she's kind of like in the position like some of those fighters back, you know, in 2014, where when they first came into the strawweight division, you know, like Tisha Torres and those fighters like that, that had like single-digit resumes, but they were able to build up and grow, gain their experience by working with other UFC fighters and just, you know, fighting those fights. You know, it's like on the job training, right? So fighters like her, I think they'll get their experience, especially with fighting somebody like Hannah Cypress. Hannah Cypress can be she could be a test now. Like, I know, look, some of you are gonna say, oh, you know, Hannah Cypress, she needs to be cut. But, you know, Hannah Cypress, you know, if you put her in the right weight, she can be tough. You know, I thought she was starting off on the right foot against Mackenzie Dern in that one fight, but Mackenzie Dern, like I said, she's a submission artist, right? You know, she was showing good physical strength in that fight, good boxing against Mackenzie Dern, but boom, you know, got caught in the heel hook. But this is going to be a test. This will be a test for Melissa Martinez. If she can go in there and finish somebody like her, you know, she'll take the next step, fight somebody like Tabitha Ricci, Velismus, and so on, right? But that's a good signing. That's definitely a good signing right there. Combate is definitely bringing some, I think they're bringing some good fighters over. But yeah, speaking of the strawweights, let's see here. We also have Yasmin Harige. I don't think I got a chance to talk about her. She's actually been signed before most of these fighters, you know. I think I posted it on my community page. But yeah, we have Yasmin Harige. She's 8-0. She's fought for Combate about six times. Oh, let me see. How many times have I seen? But probably like seven times. Let me go ahead and pull up the resume here. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, about six times. She won the strawweight tournament that they did for the women there. You know, she got victories in different fashions. You know, she was outworking fighters. You know, she was able to stop Clara Lopez there. You know, just really showcase like an early Joanna type of style. You know, Yasmin Harige just has those hands. She has that aggressiveness. The thing, unlike Joanna, though, I think she packs a little bit more power. And, you know, she's always accurate with that right hand. You know, she comes in with those combinations and she follows it up with some good clinch work. But I love the takedown defense. You know what I mean? Like, she's keeping that stand up going. That takedown defense is similar to Joanna. You know, if you try to go in there and take her down, like when she's coming in there with those combinations, you try to switch levels on her, boom, you know, she's right there using that sprawl. You know, she has that physical strength to stay up. So yeah, Yasmin Harige, definitely somebody, you know, I gotta rate pretty high because I knew she was somebody they were going to grab. Did a video on her a while back, told y'all to watch out for her. Yeah, 8-0. I believe in her, 8-0. You know, she's fought some good competition, won a tournament. She's coming in fighting Estela Nunes. They got her lined up against Estela Nunes August 13th. You know, I think that's going to be a good fight. That's going to be a good fight for her. You know, Estela Nunes is a good stand-up fighter for a few rounds and maybe one round. So you're probably going to get a good stand-up battle between these two before Yasmin Harige really starts to overwhelm, you know. I think when she starts to settle in, first round right away, you know, she's going to start to put those combinations together. Then, you know, is Nunes slow? If she don't finish Nunes in the first round, Nunes starts to slow down in the second and so on. That's when Yasmin Rodriguez is really going to turn it up and probably finish, because, you know, yeah, she's pretty tough, man. Good killer instinct in her. So, yeah, we got some new signees, like I said, from bantamweight to 115, you know, bantamweight, strawweight. And, of course, you know, they're doing a tough house right now. So the flyweight division is thriving. But 145, man, 145 just looks like it's not going anywhere right now. I mean, with these bantamweights, with these featherweights moving down to bantamweights, it doesn't look like we're going to get anything going. I think even Macy Chason is probably going to continue to try to make bantamweight. So rest in peace to the featherweight division, y'all. Yeah, that's what it looks like. But, well, we got these other new fighters adding some spice to the bantamweight division. You know, that division was just about to die out, right? So I think it's good that we got about four or five more fighters coming in, you know. So welcome over Tainara Lisboza, Alan Fiona Perez, Chelsea Chandler. For the bantamweights and for the strawweights, welcome over Emily Ducote, Melissa Martinez, and Yasmin Herrige. So, yeah, man, it's good that they are starting to, you know, put some shine on some of these ladies that are really working hard. You know, they are grabbing the right ladies that have been winning these tournaments. But the one that I'm just, you know, really disappointed at overlooking is Tanisha Tennant, because I think Tanisha, out of the majority of these fighters, you know, she shows really high IQ. You know, I think that's something they're missing out on, you know. But with that being said, before I jump to the last, you know, last topic here, you know, of fight week, the thing I will say about Tanisha is it sucks on their part that they're not signing her and that we're not seeing her right now, you know, because even though, you know, we know she's ready, right, we can still say there is a plus to this. There still is a plus to it. You know, there's always a positive to it. You know, in the meantime, while she's not getting signed, she can continue to work on her craft and continue to perfect her style, you know, just so when she gets to the bantamweight division, she doesn't take any surprise L's from any veterans. She can just continue to watch and watch from the outside, watch the different moves that these new signed fighters to the roster, how they're moving. Look at some of the veterans in the bantamweight division like Sarah McMahon, Rocky Pennington. See how they move, you know what I mean? Just continue to prepare for these different type of styles and, you know, just keep on building off of that, right? You know, and just keep defending her belt. Like, even if they don't sign her after this Olga Rubin fight, just keep defending that belt against Serena De Jesus and so on, right? Just keep on building up, working on her skill, working on her ground game, working on her jiu-jitsu, working on her clinch control, building up her physical strength, because that's really going to be needed in the bantamweight division for Tanisha. You know, Tanisha, she's kind of a slim frame. She's a slim frame fighter. So, you know, I'd say, you know, she's really got to work on that takedown defense like Ioana, you know, work on that, master that. But I really work on being strong and being able to impose her will on these fighters. You know, that's a big part. You know, that's a real big part of it, moving up the ladder. Because, like I said, even though some of these bantamweights are older, or some people consider done, you know, they still bring a lot to the table. You know, they bring that old lady strength. It's like we have old men strength. They bring that old lady strength on some of these fighters. So you got to be ready for that. You know, you want to be prepared for what Carol Rosa could bring to the table. You know, they might sign her to, they might make you fight her coming in, right? So you got to be ready. So I see it as a blessing too as well, you know, for Tanisha Tennant to kind of, you know, just be waiting on the sideline, because all the while she's waiting, like I said, just keep on working on her craft, building it, building up her exposure, defending her belt, and, you know, keep adding that experience to her, you know, resume till there's no way they can deny it later. And then when she does come into the UFC, then she'll be prepared for whatever they throw at her, you know, all different type of styles, you know. So that's what it is. That's what it is. You know, she has a good team, too. She's working with people already in the UFC like Sarge, Aaron Blanchfield, Caitlin Chikagan, and so on, right? So those are good fighters. You know, those are good fighters that's going to help her, you know, get better. She's already surrounded by, you know, UFC talent. That's about it for this episode, though. But real quick, let's run through the fight week card here as far as the women go. And like I said, this is just kind of like a prelude into the next episode to come, UFC 275. Let me go ahead and pull it up here. This will be for the next episode. I'm gonna go through these fights here real quick with y'all. But yeah, Saturday night, of course, on the early prelims, as far as the women go, we have a featherweight fight, Ramona Pascal versus Jocelyn Edwards. Stop teasing us, man. Look, the tombstone's already on the grave. We're not gonna. This is only one fight. This is only one featherweight fight. You're not teasing me anymore. All right, Ramona Pascal versus Jocelyn Edwards. Strawweight fight, Leung Na versus Sylvania Gomez-Juarez. That's on the early prelims. Nothing on the prelims. Then, of course, on the main card, we have Zhang Weili Joanna 2. And the co-main event, Valentina Shevchenko versus Taylor Santos. All right? So, yeah, it looks like a pretty good card. I'm going to try to call these two fights, maybe. I'm going to be taking some time off, so who knows if I will, you know, take the time out to jump on live and do it. We'll see. I'm not sure yet, but I will definitely do another episode to give y'all my picks on these fights, though. So, yeah, man, a lot going on in the world of WMMA. Like I said, I just want to come back and do an episode and kind of fill y'all in on those new additions to the UFC. Because I was trying to do some videos, but I said, you know what, I might just do this on the podcast episode, and, you know, we can kind of talk about it from there. But, yeah, man, that's pretty much all I got on this one, guys. So make sure y'all subscribe to the show, hashtag CB99Talks on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Tuned In, all of that. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, ComboBreaker99. It's been growing. I appreciate that. New subscribers, you know, people always coming through, and, you know, holding a conversation with me, you know, I appreciate that. Even in the chats, in the link, you know, the links given out, whatever, you know what I mean. Getting closer to 1,000, I think I'm like 70, 80 away. So let's get there. You know, let's go ahead and get that going. Road to 1,000 now. You know, keep it moving. You know, but yeah, guys, that's all I got. We'll talk later. Combo Breaker 99. Subscribe. Peace.